Welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the real estate division here at Car Talk Plaza. As we alluded to last week, the hate mail division needs to expand.
I can't believe the number of people who have the time and are willing to put in the energy
to write a letter of hatred.
Hate mail. Then spend 29 cents to mail it to us. We got rooms full of the stuff.
Yes, it is. It is amazing. The volume of vehemence, isn't it?
A volume? Is that one of the collective nouns? A volume of vehemence?
Anyway, due to this tremendous volume, there's just no room left at the current Car Talk Plaza site. And besides, they're dying to get rid of us anyway. So we've been kind of looking around at pieces of land in and around our fair city.
Land? We're going to just camp out?
Well, for the time being, we'll squat first, and then we'll build later.
I like that thing we saw over in Harvard Square, moving in with our parent company there.
Oh, do we cheat and how?
Will they mind? They're never there anyway.
I don't know. I thought it looked pretty good. What do you think?
I mean, love it. Yeah? I think we should go ahead and do it.
You don't have any other suggestions?
Well, the only trouble is I've been in the middle, as you know, of my research study of the CAFE standards.
Yes.
As everyone knows, CAFE stands for Corporate Average Fuel Economy.
Not in your vocabulary.
Not in my vocabulary, however. I've been checking out all the cafes in Boston's Italian section, and I'm not quite finished with that yet. Oh. So I would have to travel from Cambridge. I don't know if I can. Can I borrow your car?
Sure.
Well, look, keep us posted.
Well,
you can be the real estate man.
I am. I'm the lookout, the scout, so to speak.
Yeah. Keep us posted. Want me to read some mail?
Yeah. You have anything good?
Yeah, okay. I do.
1-800-333.
No, no. This is important, actually. This is topical, actually. This is a piece of mail which is recent. Hate mail division. Hate mail division. Car Talk Plaza 630. Your fare, as in not so hot city, 02215. Dear Mrs. Tappert.
No, that's not the meaning of a fare. It's like a fair maiden. You wouldn't say.
Fair maiden. Not so hot.
Not so hot, huh?
Well, fair. Fair. Good. Excellent. Right?
No, fair. No. That's the primary meaning.
Well, this guy,
all right, well,
Jefferson
go ahead,
Rank, doesn't think so. For the past few weekends, you've introduced your broadcasts as encore presentations. This is an outrage. It is probably the work of your staff philologist, evil sister, I am surely wrong, or mistaken. The word encore, as you know, in your heart of hearts, represents a request on the part of an audience to hear something again or to hear more. Asterisk at the bottom of the page. Asterisk. Encore. 1.9. I mean, noun. A demand by an audience expressed by applause for an additional performance.
Yeah, we get the gist of it.
Of course, Renault made a car called an encore, which is as full of crap as is your use of the term. All right. Like slimeball lawyers
well,
and politicians.
Get to the vehement stuff.
I'm getting to it. Like slimeball lawyers and politicians, you have tried to shift the responsibility for your own lethargy to the very people who suffer for it. We haven't asked for these stale repeats, but you implied that we have by calling them encores. Get off it. Why not say we're not sure what we did last night, but we're in no condition to answer the phones? So here's a crummy old tape of a show you already heard. Yours in the quest for truth, Jefferson Rank from Portland.
Well, sorry.
With all due respect, we didn't come up with the stinking name Encore Presentation.
No, Dougie did. He
Our
that's...
esteemed producer, Douglas Q. Berman, came up with it. So I'll just send it to him.
Sure.
Send to Doug.
All
Q.
set.
That's it.
That was the best piece of mail you had, huh?
Oh,
well,
that
anyway.
Was great.
We'll take a call, if you don't mind.
No,
are you
I'm
ready?
Fine.
1-800.
Fine. If that's what you want to do, that's what we'll do.
1-800-332-9287. A little feisty today, huh?
Yes.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi, who's
yes.
this?
This is Sherry.
Sherry.
Sherry,
yes.
As in Shari?
Oh, no.
No, as in the sweet wine.
As in sweet, yes, sweet and dry, as in humor.
Yes, we got it.
No kidding. Sherry.
Sherry.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah, that's good. Where are you from, Sherry?
I'm from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Okay, I got a gal in Kalamazoo. Yeah, so?
Why did you call us?
So how come you got nothing better to do than call us, Sherry?
Oh, gosh. Well, here's my concern.
Yeah.
I have an 87 Mercury Topaz. red, and it has two doors and 57,000 miles on it.
Hmm. 57,000 on each door or both together?
Well, both. Together.
Yeah. Both together.
Yeah. Okay, we got it.
Okay. Now, we're somewhat concerned here because it seems to be experiencing intermittent hot flashes.
Well, it's at the right age.
Well, I was wondering about that, you know, if they age incrementally like dogs, because it's only 5 years old. But anyway, this is what happens. It has a temperature gauge that goes from C to H, and then it spells out normal in between.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can see where it is at any time.
Yeah.
Recently, we took a weekend road trip of about 300 miles, and the gauge stayed on M during most of the trip.
I got it. I'm drawing a picture. I have it.
Okay. Yeah. Then arriving into the city of our destination, it climbed to A, then to L, and then it redlined into H as we reached our destination.
Okay.
Okay, now these last few moments here, how many moments were they from M to H?
From M to H?
How much
rose
time?
Very steadily.
20 minutes?
No. Just within a couple of minutes.
A couple of minutes.
You were stopped or nearly stopped when this happened.
Yes.
Good,
we had been
good.
Cruising along, and then we were nearly stopped.
Yeah, okay.
Now, we let it sit overnight, and we checked the new belts. We had just put new belts on. We checked those, and they seemed to be tight.
Good.
And then the next day, in preparation for the return trip, we took it for a 20-mile drive, and we tried to force it to overheat. And we turned the heater on. We turned the heater off. We drove it in third instead of fourth.
You should have left the emergency brake on. That would have forced it to overheat.
Well, no, we didn't do that.
Okay.
But then again, when we stopped at a light, it redlined again.
Right.
Right? We let it idle for a little while. It went back down to M.
It did.
It did.
Idling? Just sitting there? In other words, you remained at the light.
Yeah. Well, we pulled into a parking lot and sort of watched it for a while.
Yeah.
You
made
watched
believe,
it.
They made believe it was a light, a full light.
Right.
Okay. So it went way up, and then as you continued to just sit there with the engine running, it came down to M again.
Yes.
I wish you hadn't said that.
Well, no, I have a theory that I have theories for everything. There are no curves that you can throw.
It's like the roof snow.
For which I can't devise a theory.
Okay, now it goes on. The ride home was uneventful. It stayed on R and M most of the way.
Because
home.
You were driving at high speed.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And then on the way to work Monday morning, the temperature gauge and the gasoline gauge surged at the same time. Going, you know, from the M.
Ooh, yet a third theory is coming.
Oh,
and then back down. Now, that was the only time we ever noticed that.
Wait a minute. Now, give us this last one again. This throws a hooker into the whole theory one and theory two are now down the tubes based on this.
Right. We were avidly watching the gauge. On the
you're
way
watching
to work.
The gauges and you're on the way to work.
On the way to work.
You and your husband, you work at the same place?
No, I take him to work in the morning.
You take him to work?
Like your wife does to make sure you go.
Yes, me and my dog and I.
Well, I get lost a lot of times.
She's noticed.
Okay, so you're both going to work. You're taking him to work. You're driving.
He's driving.
And he's driving, and you're watching the gauges.
Yes.
So they both pegged out.
Right.
Now, be specific here.
We watched the temperature gauge and the gasoline gauge surge up together up to H and then back down to M. Steadily.
And the gas gauge went up to full and back down to half?
It went from approximately a quarter to half.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, and it didn't go all the way to full.
No.
You know what the saddest thing about this whole story is?
That we don't know the answer.
No, that she's already told us what color the car is.
Oh.
They already know the color.
And I can't say what color is this car. Gee, well, this is good.
Nor can we ask her, was the tank more than half full? We know that, too.
She told us that, too.
Gee, Sherry, you've taken all the fun out of this.
You have.
Okay, and then it goes on just a little bit more.
There's more to the story.
Oh, good. I hope the next piece will pull it all together for us.
Okay, it was okay for a couple of days, and then I noticed it again. After driving for a little while, I stopped at a red light, and it went up to H and then went back down to M.
But then, how about the gas gauge?
The gas gauge didn't do anything.
Didn't do anything that time.
Mm-mm. So at the end of this long story, we were wondering if this is something serious or just a sort of an automenopausal kind of
thing. How the hell would we know?
I'm of the belief that the car is in fact not overheating.
Well, that's what I say.
Maybe.
Well,
but that could change.
It's absolutely not overheating, but that could change.
Now, it's been at least a week and nothing at all has happened.
Yeah, see, I mean, the fact that the gas gauge and the temperature gauge went up together indicates that there's really nothing wrong with the cooling system at all, but the problem is in the gauges themselves.
Right, and as a matter of fact, did you ever venture to open the hood when the needle was all the way
you
up?
You nuts!
To
we
H?
Did.
Was
we
the electric
did.
Fan running?
The fan was running, yes.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Okay. Now, my guess is that's working properly, and what you probably need is a new temperature gauge.
Oh.
That's my guess.
What happened? What about the gas gauge?
And one of those, too.
Well, how about an estrogen gas treatment?
Estrogen could do it. I mean, it could be that.
It could do it.
It's either that the gauges themselves are gonzo, or there's some common fault.
But what you need to do is get somewhere. It to your mechanic and have that mechanic make sure that, in fact, the fan goes on at the right time. You know, he'll put his thermometer in there, and he'll watch the thing go up and go cuckoo. He may, in fact, want to change the sending unit in the engine that sends the signal to the gauge. It's called the temperature switch.
Okay.
Or the TSU.
Right. So he may want to change the temperature switch, and then he may find out that doesn't fix it. And when he discovers that, he'll take the dashboard apart and replace your gauge. But you have to have a gauge that works. I mean, you couldn't do anything stupid like break the glass and bend the needle.
No, you wouldn't want to
set it where you wanted to.
No, you wouldn't
want
to do that. Right. My brother did that, but no. You don't want to do that.
Right. No, you wouldn't want to do that.
You guys are terrific.
Well,
I just want to let you know that, and we're not related.
We aren't?
This is a disclaimer. We're not related at all. You guys are great.
Thanks, Aunt Sherry.
Great talking to you.
Thanks for your call.
Hey, don't go anywhere because we've got a lot more calls. Well, a few anyway. And the puzzler answer coming up right after this. This message comes from NPR sponsor eBay Motors. It doesn't matter if your car is brand new or a vintage rumbler. There's always room to make improvements to take it to the next level and make it feel a little more like you. But how do you know where to go to find the right parts to do that? Well, eBay Motors has all the right parts at the right prices. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means they have 122 million parts all at your disposal. So whatever you want to do to your car, you'll be able to find exactly what you need at ebaymotors.com. Let's ride.
Anyway, I just wanted to say before we took another call, that this is normally the time during the show when we give the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah, it was about Krusty. I remember it.
Yes. But fortunately, the puzzler is still on vacation. Even Rogers came back from vacation.
That guy, puzzler, what did he have, like 6 months vacation?
I don't know. I had to reintroduce myself to him. I forgot what he looked like. Anyway, in just a few short weeks, it will be back. But there's still time to... save your fellow listeners from the lousy puzzler that's scheduled to open the season.
But you have one all picked out, and you know how bad it is.
I do. I have several picked out, and they're all lousy. But if you have one that isn't lousy,
and
you'd like to suggest it to us, and we might even use it, you can send your suggestion to Puzzler Tower, Non-Lousy Puzzler Division. I don't like that. That's very negative.
It is. Non-lousy.
But effective.
Well, that's actually, it's not the same as good, you notice. This is a figure of speech. You know, I happen to know the name of this figure of speech. No one knows this. Even the English teachers who are listening don't know that this is a litotes.
Is it?
L-I-T-O-T-E-S. It is a purposeful use of the negative because it doesn't mean the same thing as the positive. Good puzzlers would mean you only wanted good. Non-lousy.
Could be fair.
Could be
average.
Could be fair,
great.
As in my fair.
Right. I got it. Can I start again now?
Yeah.
Puzzler Tower. Litotes Puzzler Division. Non-lousy Puzzler Division. Car Talk Plaza. 630 Commonwealth Avenue. Boston.
Our fair city.
2215. And if we use your puzzler and you happen to be listening that day, we'll send you a book. A copy of our meteoric book. Was it meteoric?
Well, that's good. Meteoric. Yeah, you could say that. It's M-E-D-I-O-C-R-E. Meteoric. Yeah, excellent.
There we go. Anyway, we'll get back to the serious business at hand. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, this is Ali from Marina del Rey, California.
Ali. Muhammad Ali?
Relative.
How are you, Ali?
How are you guys?
Very good.
How's everything in Marina del Rey?
Oh, it's nice and warm.
Yeah, remind us. It's winter here now, but that's all right. We can take it.
You know, it has been winter since last October.
Winter.
It has. Summer never came to our fair city.
Well, I think we stole it from you.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Anyway, how can we help you?
Well, I have two quick questions. Can I ask both?
Of course.
Absolutely. This is a two-for-one day here.
Great, thank you. I have a Chevy S10 Blazer, 1989.
I don't want to interrupt you, but let me just remind me later to tell you a story about this.
Okay, sure.
Okay, so that's it. It's an S10 Blazer.
S10 Blazer, and it's a 5-speed. And occasionally, when I'm starting from a standing start, or sometimes when I go from first gear to second gear, it drives for about 50 yards or so, then it makes a loud bang, and it jumps out of gear.
Oh, bad sign. Go to the second question immediately. Yeah.
Well, you know,
I don't think you want to hear that answer.
Really?
Are you Persian?
I am, actually.
What a great ear I have, huh? Isn't it awesome? Yeah, okay.
You do, actually.
I could tell.
They told me to read the instruction manual on how to change gears.
Yeah, well, they're wrong. Okay. Yeah,
you know how to shift the car. You're not doing anything wrong.
Okay.
But maybe there's something wrong with the transmission.
How old is this Blazer?
This is an 89.
How many miles are on it?
It's new.
You bought it new, and how many miles have you driven it?
It's 49,000 miles now.
49.
Well, this may be covered by extended warranty.
Okay.
So you might have to, they may have to do something. They may have to rebuild the engine. But there's no way that you could drive it incorrect, rebuild the transmission, rather. There's no way that you could drive it that you would make it pop out of gear unless you hadn't put it into gear all the way.
Exactly.
But if you're satisfied that you've put it all the way into gear, then there's nothing you could do that should ever make it pop out. I don't care if you stepped on the gas.
Wait. You're not exceptionally obese, are you, Ali?
No, I weigh 140 pounds.
Oh, so your stomach is not like knocking it out of gear or anything like that. Okay.
Okay.
No, it's very unlikely. So whoever told you that was trying, I think we call it in this country the bum's rush. They were trying to get rid of you, but tell them you won't stand for it.
And you, moreover, you expect them to fix it for free.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one issue. You can call your lawyer about that in the morning. What's the second question?
The second question is, what can you tell me about these new Typhoons? I'm going to try to trade this in and get a new...
This was my brother's favorite. Didn't you drive this for... that you wrote the letter about to Billy Joe Bob Balboa?
Oh, the truck, the Typhoon?
Right.
Yeah, what do you think you're talking about?
The GM?
Faster than a Ferrari.
The meteorological phenomenon?
Right.
Faster than a Ferrari, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound?
But they don't still make that truck, do they?
Yeah, I think they do.
Are they good cars? Would you recommend them?
No, it is one of the most unconscionable vehicles I have ever laid my eyes on.
Have there been any changes between this and the Cyclone? The Cyclone was the first.
Right, Cyclone is a pickup truck.
Right, this is the four-wheel drive version, and this is the thing that goes from 0 to 60 in about 5.5 seconds.
Less.
Right.
And
4.5.
I mean, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. I must say, I thought it was a very pretty vehicle.
Uh-huh.
At least the pickup truck version of it is, I thought, nicely designed, aesthetically designed. But to make a truck that could go that fast, especially a pickup truck, to make a pickup truck, which is the worst handling vehicle on the road except for a Volvo.
And next to your 63 Dodge.
Next to my 63 Dodge Dart. And then make it go 1,000 miles an hour. I mean, it is unconscionable of Robert Stempel to have put his stemple of approval on making that truck.
Okay.
So don't buy it. No one in the world should buy this. And you should even write them a letter saying, I'm not buying it.
Stop making.
And I never even considered it anyway. So stop making it. So that's my answer to that.
Right. Get this 89 fixed and you'll enjoy driving it again and you won't be thinking about doing anything stupid like buying a Typhoon.
And the
only thing that worries me when I drive that, it makes a bang, it pops out of gear. And since I live in L.A., I'm always ducking. I'm thinking shooting at me.
No, I mean, the trouble is inside the transmission and they're going to have to take the transmission apart to fix it. This should not have happened at 49,000 miles.
Okay.
And you have to jump up and down and yell and scream and tell them that you will not stand for it.
And they don't want to do it because it's a huge job, but that's not your problem.
It's not your problem.
All right, now, I'll tell them that you sent me.
Here's the story about the Blazer. I was watching, I think it was Steals and Deals or something on TV the other night. They uncover all these sleazeball, disreputable businesses.
Is this a local show or is this a national?
No, this is a nationally aired cable show.
Uh-huh.
I believe. And they had uncovered a company. Get this. You ever get in the mail, please call the following 900 number. You have definitely won one of the following prizes.
And they charge you for the phone call.
They charge you for the phone call, and you don't make the phone call unless the prizes are interesting. So this thing said, you have definitely won one of the following prizes. $10,000 in cash.
I'll write these down.
A stereo system. A Chevy Blazer.
Okay.
So everyone is calling the 900 number.
Yeah, I know what the scam is.
Everyone is winning what?
The Chevy Blazer with rust up to the windows in 1973.
No. A jacket that says Chevy on it.
A Blazer.
A Blazer.
Oh.
Can you believe this? They're, just when you think there's nothing more sleazy, someone comes up with that. Isn't that great?
They charge you $50 for the phone call.
I mean,
yeah,
they,
$50 for the phone call, and they send you a $29.95 Blazer that they bought at Anderson
$6.
Little.
But yeah. I thought, I mean, that was the ultimate in sleaze. A Chevy Blazer. Of course, the district attorney is on their case, but he won't get them.
Well, good luck, Ali.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye.
Right after these messages, you'll hear more calls and a new puzzler coming right up.
Back, you're listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here, of course, to answer your questions about cars and car repair and anything else you want to talk about. I mean, we're willing to do...
Oh, you want to talk about... We've already talked about geography. So, get this now. Get this.
This isn't the same letter you read earlier.
No, no, no. I have a question for you. It's not about my car. The question I have is about something I heard you say one day as I listened on my local NPR station, WSSU. The statement... Where is that? WSSU, Springfield, Illinois. The statement was in regard to the comma, which is placed between the city or town or village or wide place in the road and the state. I would stake my life that you said the comma does not belong there with the Postal Service's two-letter abbreviations. Since you say it, I believe it. Isn't that great of Rosemarie Hutchins?
Oh, since you what say a it, sap.
But my family, friends, co-workers, and everyone else I know says I'm nuts. And what do two mechanics know about addresses anyway?
Not much. However,
can you provide me with something official that verifies what you said? Or can you tell me where I can locate such a document?
Well, I didn't believe you when you said you were the one that made this erroneous statement.
Of course.
And I went and looked up in my 8th grade English book that I had the presence of mind to steal when I was in 8th grade.
Yeah.
My Warner's English book.
Excellent. Excellent.
And? It had the comma.
It had the comma because there were no zip codes at the time, and they did not use the same two-letter designations. You notice all the states have two-letter capital letters, right? M-A, A-K,
yeah.
L-A. They did not use those then. And Rosemarie, you go to your local post office. That's the only place you need to go, and they will tell you the official way to address a letter, and they will tell you it is Boston, M-A. 02215, no comma.
Nope.
That's it.
No kidding.
And she said, because I said it, she believed it. And I think that's wonderful that she has such faith. What a nut.
Well, anyway.
Yeah, so now what?
Well, I'm ready to take a call, but I just wanted to mention that this is normally the time where we introduce the new puzzler.
Got one?
But the puzzler is what?
She's on vacation with Ken Rogers.
Still lousy.
Does his wife know about it?
And also on vacation it is. But we're hoping that a little break will do the puzzler some good. It's done good for the puzzler in the past.
It has. That's right. Every time when we think that we have no more puzzlers, that there is nothing else puzzling in the world, and we should close down the patent office, our faithful listeners come through
Two or three good puzzlers
good
that we
puzzlers.
Try to stretch out for the whole year.
Oh,
anyway, if you have a puzzler suggestion for us, or a suggestion of any kind, we'd love to see it. We'd love to see it in writing.
Well, what if someone actually had an idea for a puzzler that they would like us to use?
Well, then send it to the following address.
Good.
You ready?
Yeah.
Puzzler Tower.
Yeah.
Not as lousy as usual puzzle division. Car Talk Plaza, 630 Commonwealth Avenue, Boston.
Our fair city.
No comma.
Not good,
Ma,
but fair.
02215. That's it. That's all I had to say.
1-800. I was going to ask you a question.
332-928.
Hold on a minute. Here's the question. What if we had not four or five, but three or four great puzzlers and the rest not non-lousy? What would be the proper strategy for interspersing the great ones?
I know the proper strategy.
Would you start right out in September, bingo, with a real whopper?
Not your build.
So we can look forward to real garbage first. And
That's what I've been doing for years. I have the strategy. Don't worry.
1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Bjorn Johnson. I'm in New York City.
Bjorn?
Yeah.
As in
Martin Van Buren?
No. As in Bjorn, like the tennis player.
Oh, Bjorn.
There you go.
Bjorn from NYC.
There you go.
So what's up, man?
Actual NYC, like Manhattan?
Actual, right in the very midst of Manhattan, that's right.
Good for you.
And having lived here since 1979, I have had to own an automobile.
Really?
That's right. But my business is now taking me to California sometime soon.
Mm-hmm.
And, matter of fact, I was hoping to be gone there now, but I got another job, and I'm going to have to wait until either November or January to go out. But as I'm going to be going out there, obviously I'm going to have a car again. And I was thinking that I would ask you fellas where you might recommend buying a used car in the United States. Seeing as how I can get one just about anywhere between here and there, I wondered if there was some place in the country that was better, either less wear on the car or better market for buying cars or whatever.
That's a great question.
What it
is. Great question. I would never have thought that was your question.
What a dumb question.
If it clanks or toots or whizzes or buzzes or something later on, I'll call you again and ask you about that. But in the meantime, I have to get one.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make much difference what kind of a car it is. You just want to know where.
So, wait a minute. Now, we got here. This is a great problem. This could be a problem in some mathematics course. You're going to have to fly from New York to the place where you're going to buy the car.
Probably.
And then you're going to drive the car from there to California.
That's whereabouts? Right. What's your final destination in California?
Los Angeles.
L.A., okay.
Right, I'm an actor, so I have to be out there. Actually, from here, next week I'm going to Ohio.
Bad place to buy a car.
Right, so
why?
Cars rust. It's too near the ocean.
You're buying a new car or a used car?
A used car.
Used?
Used car.
Yeah,
and
used
also,
car.
I don't have to, I don't want to fall into the L.A. culture thing of buying some snappy-looking thing to make a statement about myself. I just want good transportation.
Oh, bull.
All right, let's. An MG, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
let's cut right to the chase. How much money have you got?
Well, I having not bought a car in this many years, I don't know what to expect to pay for a good used car. I'd like to.
That wasn't the question. The question was how much have you got?
Say $3,000 to $5,000.
You cheapskate! You've had 13 years to save money. Even if you saved a lousy $20 a week, you'd have $13,000 before we apply the interest. With interest, you'd have $20,000.
I should have thought of that.
And you're only going to spend $3,000 to buy a car?
Saving the rest for repairs. All right, so $3,000 to $5,000.
The answer is simple, actually. I mean, there is no better place to buy a used car than L.A.
Really?
Yes. As a matter of fact, sure. There's one other factor which you probably hadn't considered. And that is that your car must pass California emission requirements.
Right.
And if you buy one in Sandusky, Ohio, it's not going to be a California car.
Right.
And then you're going to have the thing retrofitted for California emissions. So you might as well just go to California. You're going there anyway.
He is going there.
And
that's
buy
he's
it
going.
There.
He's an actor. He's going
Moreover,
to California.
See, now, I would have thought with all the cars out there and all the competition for cars that it'd be hard to get a good price for a car.
All right, imagine this scenario. You fly to Las Vegas.
I kind of like
And you
like
buy
this.
A car from some down-and-out gambler, a guy that needs $5,000 to blow it at the roulette wheel.
He says, you can have my 89 Lincoln Town car for $4,200. And you say, it's a deal.
Or worse than that, you go to one of those, in fact, they're all over the place. You go to one of those used car lots in Las Vegas where people have traded in their new cars for another spin on the roulette wheel.
Better yet, don't go to Las Vegas. Go to Reno. Everyone's getting divorced. Right?
You buy two
cars.
And they're
splitting up with cars, extra cars. You just buy one from them.
The problem with that is, however, that you're going to buy a car and you're not going to get a guarantee.
Right.
You're going to get a guarantee, but you're never going to be able to avail yourself of it.
Right.
Because you're going to be too far away. So that's the other reason for buying the car where you're going to live.
Yeah.
So I think those are two good reasons for flying to L.A. a week early and spend the week reading the paper and buying a used car.
Terrific.
And buy something flashy. You'll need it out there.
There you go.
You'll have plenty of time to buy a car. Well, he's going to have all the vacation he can get in L.A. because he's not going to have a job when he gets there. You're an actor, right?
There you go.
Good luck, Bjorn.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, good luck.
Bye-bye. Well, another valuable hour of your time has been wasted listening to car talk. Our producer, who's out having the phone surgically removed from his ear this week, is Doug Berman. Our assistant producer and dean of the Department of Automusicology is Ken Babyface Rogers. Our engineer is Jennifer Conifer Gonifer Loeb. Our technical advisor and chief espresso maker is Mr. John S. Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research.
Does he owe you money or what? John S. Lawler, my foot.
He brought his gun in today. Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. Our staff grammarian and, of course, acting philologist is I.M. Shirley Wright. Our director of long-range strategic planning. Did I say Mr. John S.? I
didn't. You did. You said Mr.
Long-range strategic planning is Kay Sarah, who's married, of course, to Frank Sarah, and now we call her...
What?
Mrs. Sarah. Our staff disciplinarian is Les Stern. Our transpiration. That's an interesting... That's a very...
Transpiration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a slip.
What transpired? Well, there was a transpiration.
Yes.
Something transpired.
Yes.
Well, maybe that's what Rick Shaw does.
Well, he's our transpiration coordinator at any rate, at least this week. Our staff composer is Bella Kartok.
Bella.
I like Bella.
Bella.
The conductor of the Tappet Brothers Symphony Orchestra is Sludgy Ozawa. The manager of the Tappet Brothers Capital Depreciation Fund is Les Ismore. The chairman of the Kartok Physics Department is Victor Analysis.
And last but not least,
our chief legal counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatman, Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known around town as Huey Louie Dewey. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
But thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. This is NPR, National Public Radio.